When you've been stealthed by God, then ambiguity comes up in your life, saying one thing but being another thing that's stated, which is demonstrated in the person's actions. Well, I am, but really you're not. Well, I believe, but really you don't. Well, I'll be here, but really you won't. You've been stealthed. People see it. What's wrong? I don't know. Maybe they've been stealthed. This pattern, if not corrected, translates into what I also call switching tracks. Oh, you see switching tracks? Train is going. Right, man, in the caboose, we're going to be going 20 miles this way, straight ahead, man. But then when you stealth, the enemy comes and switches. Man, get them, man. They're going 100 miles an hour. Crack! Wait a minute, man. You better get out of that fall. The tracks have been switched. That's what the devil does to you. You're going good and smooth, and the next thing you know, the whole circuit's turning over. While it's turning, you better get somebody to know this book and say, now, why am I tilting? Oh, you possibly been stealthed. Holly was here Friday, and he told me, John, I see something different about your people. I said, there's nothing different about these people, man. Same people, same word of God. I'm preaching hard and strong. He says, no. These people have changed. I said, oh, Harley, they're probably under the, you know, the influence of they know that we need them to pay for this as their lives get better. He says, no, John, you're too close. These people are different. And he said, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. Because that's a sign that God will keep blessing you. Now, since the devil heard Harley say that, and if the devil is stealthing some of you, guess what he wants to do? Stop that process. I know. Thus we learn that Peter did not learn the lesson right away. How do we learn this? Because he had a pattern that when he got caught, that he always got into the cover-up. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Let's check him out. He's good and saved now. Holy Ghost came at Pentecost. He's filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in all kind of languages and casting out demons and waving handkerchiefs and everything. Good and saved. People passing in his shadow, being healed, right now. Man, all that stuff, doing all that. And then one day, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, but when Cephas, that is Peter, same boy, came to Antioch, Paul said, I opposed him to his faith, because he stood condemned. Paul was saying, the boy had been stealthed. Look at verse 12. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, in other words, he was always wanting to be around the good homeboys. Always wanted to hang out with the Bible trying. But now you don't see him no more. You ever see folk around here like that? Used to be around all the Bible studies, used to be in there all tight, but then they don't want to be around no more. And they got all these excuses. Brothers, if you're in the room, you've been stealthed. Go on, Paul, stood up and said, I condemned him to his face because he was wrong. And he said, and he had the other brothers stealth right along with him. You think it don't happen in the 20th century? You better read this book. Peter, after he good and saved, preached his first sermon at Pentecost. Thought he knew so much. The devil said, I know where this chump is weak. And I'm going to take this chump out every time he gets strong. And I'm saying to Beelzebub, try me in every area you want. My weakness is my men. You hear me? You men want to know what my weakness is? You're my weakness. And I need to turn and walk. See, God knows what my weakness is. I tell him to remove me from my weakness all the time. I love brothers. Know what he told me? Just like he told Paul. Shut up asking me that. My grace is sufficient. What? What does that mean? What does that mean, man? My grace is sufficient. You're going to deal with stealth brothers for the rest of your life. What? For those of you young preachers in ministry, get ready. Thus we see that Peter didn't learn his lesson right away. We also know that the Lord is patient with those that need more of a lesson plan. And I need to be patient. See, repent, John. Repent. Repent. Be patient, Pastor. We are to look at ourselves and see if we, like Peter, have gotten the lesson yet. See, that's your role. Because, see, if you're a stealth sister or stealth brother, have you gotten the lesson yet? Some folk have been in church their entire lives and would never get the lesson. Hell raising bums for the rest of their lives. Going to heaven. And what's going to be on their card is I was a hell-raising bum in God's church. Why? Because I allowed the devil to stealth me after God saved me. All right. D on your outline. Jesus knows that the trap that Satan set and that was setting would seek to bring Peter down at a later date. Jesus knew that this trap that Satan had set and was getting ready to set would bring Peter down at a crucial time in his life when he should have been standing up. And you see it in the first thing, because it caused him to lie. Go to Matthew chapter 26. You're going to show how the devil will work on you. See, once he stealths you once, he's going to stealth you again, because, see, that's his game plan. That's the only way that he can get you. And he can fool your mind. Matthew chapter 26, we're going to read verses 69 and 70. Check this out, if you will, church. Now Peter was sitting outside the courtyard. This is after they had snatched Jesus and was going to do what Jesus said they were going to do to him. And a certain servant girl came up to him and said, now this is my translation, "You too, one of them Galileans that was traveling with Jesus, huh, boy?" Look at verse 70. "But he denied it before them all and said, 'I don't know who you talking about. I don't know him.'" She looked and changed. "I don't know him. Oh, no, you one of his boys. No, I saw you with him working down there. I don't know him. See, when you stealth, you begin to lie, because, you see, you know, you're all freaking out. Because, see, that's, I got him. The devil hasn't changed his tactics throughout the history of mankind. And he knows that the only way to destroy the church is to stealth them. Because if they're in the Word and listening to somebody that's in the pure milk and the meat of the Word, you will never be stealthed. I'll show you something else. Number two, it caused them to cut. Go to Luke chapter 22. Oh, yeah. See, once you stealth them, you know, you start lying and then you want to start cutting somebody. I'm going to show you where church fights happen, folks. Yeah, right. Luke chapter 22, we're going to start reading at verse 49 through 51. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane with his homies that he asked to stay up all night. Needless to say, they didn't. The big three, Peter, James, and John, did the sleepy poo. And after they wake up, here comes the Pharisees' henchmen, the idolaters, with their temple guard. And when those who were around him saw that that was going to happen, in other words, they knew that they were going to take Jesus, they said, and Peter said, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And a certain one of them, this is Peter, struck the slave of the high priest to cut off his right ear. Now you must realize that Peter was not aiming at no ear. He was aiming at a head. But Malchus just flinched and moved, and so his ear came off. See, once you've been stealth, Jesus said, "I came to die." Peter, up at the last moment, "I'm going to stop this thing." And if you read on down, Jesus had to bend over and pick up the ear and put it back on the man. Praise ye the Lord. Some of you are going to get sick with something else. Praise ye the Lord. Some of you are going to get a little pain. Praise ye the Lord. Some of you, your wives and husbands, are going to leave you. Praise ye the Lord. Walking around here thinking, because you in church, everything's going to be coming up roses. Peter, even in Gethsemane, caused him to lie, caused him to cut, and third and lastly, it caused him to cuss and caused him to cry. Go to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. See, because once you've been stealth, you're going to start cussing next. Because, see, you just so much into you. You've just gotten so carried away. Mark chapter 14, verses 70 through 72. Now, we're getting on back to some old folks that found him out, see? See, folk can find you out because you can't hide it. And those of you that are Christians, when you know somebody's being stealth, you're supposed to approach them. And they will cuss you out, too. In the church. Don't think it's strange. But again, he was denying it. Man, look at Peter. And after a little while, the bystanders were saying to Peter, "Surely you're one of them, for you're a Galilean too." In other words, we know you from the hood. You can't hide. You speak like you from what? But he began to curse and swear. "I do not know this man that you're talking about." And I thank God that Mark didn't put down the words. Thank God. You see, this shows that this is a holy ordained book. Because God don't want no foolishness. That's what being stealth will make you do. Peter is an excellent case for the church to study of character that so easily continue to think like the world. Now you got to ask yourself this question: what makes you think like the world? What's the thing that's in stealth you? I got to ask this for me. I had to ask it Monday night. And you know when you stealth, do you know what you do? You continuously try to make up excuses why you justify in what you're doing. And you will not set under this word. And we talk to some of the men, you find yourself standing on the outside. You can't stand this because this refines the heart. That's why the preacher preaches like this. And until all of it gets pure in its true Christianity, you're going to get this kind of message. Jesus was saying to Peter that you were, this is E now on your outline. Jesus is saying to Peter, "Man, you are dilly-dallying with sin, brother." That's what he's saying. You are dilly-dallying with sin. It's so easy. See, because you can play with this sin in your own life. Play with it. You can find just the words that you agree with. "Well, I didn't actually say." You're playing, Peter. You're playing with it. Don't play with the world. Come straight my way, Peter. "Man, your way is too demanding." "Oh, yeah, hell, I'm God. I'm demanding. And I demand it of you." But when you listen to the world, you can play with it. So he says, "Therefore, Peter, you're becoming a stumbling block to me." See, you're the one that's causing my people to stumble, and my word to stumble, and my kingdom to stumble. See, when you get into you, that's what happens. I've been saying for 2 years before we moved there, drop dead! Church is too alive to themselves. When I do that, I need to take some drastic action to define it and to deny it in my life. When I get like that, "Lord, is this me? Yes, you, why are you all puffing? Why don't you tell it to me nicely and softly? Why is your blood pressure up? You act like a stealth man and woman. Why can't you talk with me? Huh? Because you've been stealth. If my actions cause some other to stumble, it is just as if I cause the work of Christ to stumble. My caution light comes on. Because I know that it's easy to fool myself. You're human. And you can fool yourself. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. I don't have to attend that. I don't have to listen to this. You've been stealth. God has a tremendous work to get done, and he's not even talking to you because you've been stealth. Keep in mind that the greatest kind of deception is self-deception, my brothers and sisters. Keep in mind that if Satan has control of your and my mind, and you or I are not willing to think with the mind of Christ, your caution light, my caution light needs to come on. I don't want to be a stumbling block. You don't want to be a stumbling block either. See, the caution light comes on, Lord, is it me? See, we older senior citizens, we don't sing this song in church anymore. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, not the pastor, not the sister, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me. Church don't sing that no more. I am tough. No, you are stealth. Go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. Check this thing out. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29 and verse 30. Jesus says that if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it, struck out, my translation. Throw it off from you. It's better for you with certain parts of your body, let that mess perish, than your whole body to be thrown into hellfire. Then he goes on and says, and if your right hand makes you stumble, cut that sucker off, my translation, and throw it away from you. For it's better for you that one of the parts of your body perish than your whole body go into hell. That caution light better come on. See, we don't want to read these texts, do we? And they're really easy to transliterate. Get rid of that mess that's causing you to fall. And eradicate it from your life. Stop trying to justify the mess because you're human. You've been stealthed. Right. Let's come down to F. Jesus was saying to Peter, literally, you're not thinking of God's welfare, Peter. Last part of that verse. You are not thinking about God's welfare. I want that one to sink in, brothers and sisters. Because in this body, if you think of any welfare but God's, it's garbage. Do you hear me? You had better hear me. Jesus was saying, Peter, no, man, you are carried away with the world here. That's why I do to certain people what I do on the radio. They carried away with the devil. And I know it and I spot it. And I crucify it. And any man and woman that calls himself a Christian that won't, I chunks in my sight. Here we are in the 20th century church. And people have the audacity to come to God's house and to get carried away with the world. And then when somebody like me tell you, how dare you challenge me? You better get your head in that book and ask yourself this one question. Am I like Peter? Carried away with this stupid world. No. I'll never do that. What he's saying is that we must always think of those things that please God in action and thought. Jesus is saying, that doesn't please me, Peter, that you pull me aside to correct me. It doesn't please me, Peter, that your thinking is so arbitrarily different from my agenda. When we do not consider the Lord in every and all areas of our lives, we miss the mark of God's high calling in our lives. Did you hear me? Every area, not one, all of them. Most of us got these little pet peeves, some of you around the vet. Oh, we going to get that. You never get me. You want to get me, come into my house and get me. And bring a 38 with you. You want to get me. I wonder why you want to get me. I just want to get next to you because I love you. You trying to get me. You know how you can get me? Get in this book with me. and I spend my whole life with you. Oh, I'm going to get him if it's the last thing I do. It will be, brothers and sisters. And I'll do your funeral. And you're going to heaven. Oh, no, you are going to heaven. He just took you out because you're messing up other folks. And if he don't take you out, he's going to touch the one you love the most to get your attention. You let me mess up. My wife and daughter's going to be in the grave. And God's going to leave my behind here to grieve. Oh, no, see, you think that when you mess up, he's going to get you. He's going to break you down until he proves to you that you've been stealth. And if I was you and I've been stealth, I should repent. And let me tell you something about misery. It loves company. Now, you take that for whatever it's worth, too. Some lessons. What lessons do we learn from God? From this literal statement that Jesus just said that, no, man, you ain't thinking about God's welfare, you think about yours. Well, when we think outside of what God is thinking on the matter, it really does not matter. Jesus was saying to Peter, when you come up to the conclusions that I haven't come up with, that don't matter. See, that's how you find yourself thinking like the world. Your conclusions do not matter with Christ. Christ says, I want to know what you say. I say about it. Your conclusions are irrelevant. Second thing, that our agendas, when we do not meet with God's agendas, are not agendas at all. Rather, they are something that we just thought up. My agenda is his agenda. And if it's not his and I'm in this, I just made it up. And it should not even be mouthed. I want that to go where it needs to go. Thirdly, that God is only concerned when his children adhere to a higher standard than that of Satan's agendas. Or that standard that Satan genders in us through his scalping process. I told you people that the devil wants to destroy this ministry. I told you that. He tried to wipe out my wife and my daughter. Now, you know what? He's going to go to the finest and the best. He's going to go to the finest and the best in the vet. He is set out to destroy this entire ministry. And he's not going to do it the way you think he is. The devil's much smarter than you. He knows your appetite. And when it's not thoroughly biblical, he got you. And he knows the only thing that stops the process, not only in this church, but in the church in America, is a totally biblical agenda. Oh, yeah. I would also say that God is only concerned with his children when his children adhere to that higher standard. Keep in mind Satan's ultimate cause and effect. What is his ultimate cause and effect? He affects us by causing us to fail God. That's how Satan affects us, by causing us to fail God. Satan says, oh, I'm going to get them, because once they fail God, cause and effect has taken place in the humanistic, dualistic civilization. Gee, and lastly on your outline, Jesus was saying that Peter was just thinking like any other worldly man. He was saying, Peter, you're carried away with the world, man. The question is, was it really necessary? You see, Peter was saying, was it really necessary for Christ to die to provide salvation? Let's enter into that question. Was it really necessary for him to die? What are your thoughts on that? Do you think he should have died? Maybe he could have provided it another way. I mean, after all, isn't that what it's all about? Speculative theology. You didn't really have to do that. The mere fact that the question was raised was ridiculous. Jesus says, my agendas are higher than yours. This is a scripture that I have, and it's not on your outline. I was doing further research today, and I think the Bible verse that I want you to turn to is Isaiah 55. Go there with me. It was not in the outline for the editors. If you want to put it in, it's Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, because they're doing this for television, and we do want our television audience to also be literate. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 9. I want to share something with you as you go to that verse with me. This is what Jesus says through the writer Isaiah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now that's kind of like in your face. God says, I don't need you. Now if you're not satisfied with that, video editor, get ready to put this in. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. These are extra verses. Because, see, I'm coming to the campus this morning, and I'm still working on a sermon. I'm saying, man, look at this. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there is a way which seems right to a man. See, we at Olivet should know these scriptures, man. We've had them all of our Christian lives. But the end thereof, that means the way that you think is right, is a way of death. Now, you got to connect that with the thought scripture. And then when you connect God's thoughts that is higher than your thoughts and God's ways higher than your ways, then you better chill out before you give your ways and your thoughts. And I can say this pastorally, in this here church, you better chill out. Because if it's not exactly God's, it ain't nothing, as far as I'm concerned. And you can say the same thing about me. Same thing about anything I teach you authoritatively and it ain't God, you need to tell me to shut up. Oh man, shut up. Tell me what God has said. There's no disrespect to me, you holding me in my office. Let me share something else with you. The question that Peter probably asked is, how can we really know that his life lost provided life found for mankind? See, Peter said, oh man, you're not supposed to die. Life lost provided for life. See, that's exactly what the world says today. That's why they don't believe in Christ. Oh man, some dude died on a cross and you think he got up, huh? Why don't you put this spin on it? Peter could have been thinking, oh Jesus, don't be so hard. Can't we just get along? Let me come to the conclusion. No. The major idea of this lesson, it's keeping with the theme. Don't get carried away with the world. Every time the world makes a decision for themselves, they do so by the same power and effect that Peter fell into. Every time the world gets carried away with that mess, listen, this is how you know you've been stealth when you get carried away with mess. And I think it's extraordinary that God did this early, late Monday night and Tuesday. I'm in my study late at night. One of the deacons said, why didn't you get that stuff to me when you were supposed to? Because I'm up late. I got master students coming here. I got to do sermons all night now to think about this. I don't have time to sit in my office and go playing golf and playing games and acting important. Trying to listen to God getting one thing, and I said, well, Lord, I talk about this. And he says, no, don't do that. Half the church is being stealth. What? Let me tell you something else. The devil hasn't changed his tactics throughout history. What makes you think that he's going to change because you're saved? No. He hasn't changed. You're going to get up and you're going to leave this room and you think I had another agenda for doing this. You better read that program. I don't go around asking people what's going on in the vet. I just live. And I'm living for next week. What does he have me to preach next week? Don't know. Early tomorrow morning. My wife told me last night, Man, you ministering to people on the radio. When you come home, you're ministering to a brother another extra hour. Then you got to get up and take falling asleep Monday morning in the hospital and then sleep there with Bobby. Look, nurse, come in. What you doing? I says, man, I'm trying to. There's books all on the hospital bed. I'm trying to get the next. God, talk to me. And then he gives me something, and I'm saying, why in the world do I have to preach this? And before the week is out, I know why. Also, in your conclusion, the investigations of our lives can only be done as the Lord is allowed to speak to us just as plain and clear as he addressed Peter. Never take a foolish human point or view over that of God on any matter. Never do that. That's what Peter did. Oh, I don't see it this way, God. You arrogant American Christians tickle me. You tickle me. You got money and you think you got power. I was talking with a doctor and we were talking about blood disease, and he said, Reverend, he's life and dying, and we can't do anything to help their lives. You know, I was saying, well, man, well, that's why I'm here. I said, so you telling me, brother, that y'all just practicing medicine? He said, we don't know what we're doing. Oh, you think you're going to live because you got a medical card? But you think about people going to the hospital. They were thinking about cutting on my wife, and he says, I don't recommend that, because when you go into ether too many times, sometimes you don't get up. Body just can't take it. He says, anytime somebody goes under ether, there's no guarantee that they're going to get up off that bed. So we're going to give your wife this because it's better than putting her under the knife. He said, I don't personally recommend that because you just don't know about life. So you think that when you get something and you can, as a matter of fact, my niece that came to this church, the hospital this morning, my Leslie said, you never guess who we saw in the hospital, vomiting up. I said, who? Aja. Pains and everything and can't keep food down, totally dehydrated on the IV. Aja's not even 15. And I'm going by to see her. Because I'm going to say, you know what, Aja? That same Jesus that the teachers teach you in the classroom, he right here in this hospital room when you're getting this fluid back in you, because, and she was here at the picnic yesterday. See? Oh, the devil ain't through with my family yet. Oh, I'm going to stop you from teaching and preaching. I'm going to stop your people. I'm going to stop you. I said, you try, you sucker. You can't stealth me. I got your number. Never develop a mentality that there is an easier way if God has already prescribed pressure, pain, and discipline. There ain't no easier way. It's going to be pressure, pain, and discipline, and you're going to follow that here. You're going to follow it, and you're going to be glad. And if you're not, you're out of here. Simple as that. Never say things towards God's program in negative fashion if he's already determined beforehand that it is going to be that way. That's, you see, that's what Peter was saying. Oh, no, man, it ain't going to be that way. And Christ said, oh, no, you don't talk to me that way. I'll end up with this. If you look at, let's go back to Matthew chapter, you know, our theme chapter, chapter 16, and I want you to look at verses 16 through 18, and you see something very strange here. I just want to read these, and then we're finished. And Peter said, answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but the Father who is in heaven. Verse 18, and I'll also say to you that you're Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower. I want you to note how quickly the rock in verses 16 through 18 becomes a stone of stumbling and offense. Note that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessed word that we have undertaken this day. We will not hear these messages because we are so American and so proud and so arrogant, even in places like this. May we humble ourselves before you. Lord, will you strengthen me don't I ask you take away my love. And I mean that love. Don't take that away, because I don't want to be like these other pastors. These show up for the job. Please forgive me and all others that have fallen under this total satanic beguilement. Continuously forgive us as we live for you. We'll be sure to give you the praise and the glory for what you have spoken to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.